Let's do it. John chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. It says, at dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Verse 6 says, then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment this morning. God, we just ask you to continue to move in our hearts and our minds and our lives as we explore your word together, God. We ask you to move in a powerful way as we explore your word, Jesus. Let us have more than just a nice sermon. God, we're here for more than just ideas or cute stories. God, we want to have an encounter with you as we look at your word today. I just thank you that even right now, either in this building or in living rooms and kitchen tables or coffee shops, wherever we're together, wherever we're worshiping and experiencing your word together today, God, I pray that we will have a real sense of you speaking directly to us in Jesus' name. In fact, why don't you put your hand on your belly right now, everybody in the room, everybody outside the room that's with this man, put your hand on your belly and just repeat this after me. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." You know, as I get older, and I'm not trying to sneak this in, but it is my birthday today. I'm 41 today, and it's just wild. As I get older, I just am continually just smacked in the face with the truth of how little power I have. Like every day is like, "Justin, you're not in control. You have no power." I mean, and listen, my whole pretty big part of my life has been strength training and the building of power. But the reality is, it doesn't matter that I can deadlift almost 600 pounds when my six-year-old is in the bathroom and says, "Hey, I'm done. I got to go in there and wipe his poopy butt." You know what I mean? Like that's, there's just no, I just, it's like every day, just like a surrender of power. But I love to find little places in life where I can get some of that power back. And one of the greatest places to get some of that power back is when you're binge watching a show on a streaming platform like Netflix or something. And this is where it is. When the opening credits start and that little button shows up that says skip intro, oh my God, there is a powerful feeling about hitting that intro button. I love hitting that skip intro. And here's why I love, this is how sick I am and how much I need Jesus. But the reason I like it is so powerful is because I like to think that like somebody spent, like it's somebody's job. In fact, it's somebody's life's work. I don't know if it was like always their dream. I imagine probably somebody went to Hollywood with big dreams to become a famous actor, and it didn't really work out. But so now they're still in the movie business, and it's their job to make those credits. You know what I mean? And I like the idea. I like just something so powerful about the idea that somebody spent maybe 40 hours one week making those credits for a TV show, and I can just skip over their whole life's work with a button. With a press of a button on a tab. I love it. I mean, I don't know about you. I think that's awesome. I'm just saying, I'm trying to find places to get that power back anywhere I can in this life. But here's the deal. Marvel figured it out. They ruined that for me because they started putting these end credit scenes in the movies. And now when I used to just be able to walk out on somebody's life's work who sit there and typed up those end credits, now we all, I don't know about you, I stick around to the very end of all the credits because I can't imagine missing one of the end credit scene because I'm also, I'm a powerless nerd is what I am. And I love it, right? Here's the thing. Marvel didn't invent the end credit scene. This John chapter 21 is probably the first end credit scene ever in the Bible because in John 20, the story ends, Jesus rose again, and John's like, hey, it was a great time with Jesus, and now we're all preaching the gospel. And then he snuck this John 21 end credit scene in there, and it's great, and it's wild. And there is so much in this chapter, John 21. You need to go and read John 21 sometime this week. Spend some time digging into it, because I'm not even going to be able to pull all the stuff out of it today in our time together, but I do want to show you a couple of things. Here's what's going on. The Bible says that this is the third appearance of Jesus to the group in a group setting. He had some personal moments. We talked about him appearing to the women last week. They were actually the first people to see Jesus, but this is the third appearing of Jesus to the group of the men known as the disciples. And all 12 of them weren't there. We know that 7 of them were in this moment. 2 of them were even gone unnamed. We know just a few of the main inside guys were there. Peter, James, John, Nathaniel, those guys were there. Here's what happened. It's a few days after the resurrection. The disciples are still scratching their head. They're still a little confused. They're still a little unsure about what's next and what's going to happen. And the Bible says that the disciples, they go back to work. They are fishermen. So Peter's like, hey, man, I'm not really sure yet what's next. I'm going to go back to work. And the Bible says that a bunch of the other guys who were fishermen too, they went and they had a day of work. And the Bible says they fished all night long. They fished all night long and didn't catch anything. And the Bible says they were beginning to come back into shore. They heard a voice calling out from the beach. Hey, did you catch anything? Okay. And this is the first thing I want you to see about these appearances of Jesus is this. I want you to notice where the resurrected Jesus shows up. Where does he show up? He shows up in their office. He shows up in their regular, everyday lives. He shows up at the workplace. He shows up, if you were a teacher, this would be Jesus showing up in your classroom. If you work in a business setting, this is Jesus showing up in your office space. If you work in a grocery store, this is Jesus showing up at the grocery store. This is Jesus showing up at your factory. Jesus shows up at work. In fact, if you look at all these appearances of Jesus, you'll see this in these 40 days. Nowhere in these 40 days does Jesus show up in a church like this. Nowhere does Jesus make a big appearance in a place where we're all gathered together and where we expect to see Jesus. Jesus shows up in the everyday, routine, regular parts of life. On the Emmaus Road, he shows up as two guys are walking home. He shows up here on the job. And what does that tell you and me? That lets you and me know that Jesus, the living and resurrected Savior that is alive and well and is living inside each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit, he wants to show up inside of your everyday life. He wants to show up and speak to you on your job. He wants to show up and speak to you in your home. He wants to show up around your kitchen table while you're having dinner with the family. He wants to show up wherever the normal stuff of life happens. In fact, I want to say this. Jesus didn't leave the tomb to only show up inside of a church for a couple of hours a week. Amen? Like, you know what? I feel like sometimes we had this attitude. And I don't have the words, so I'm going to try to stumble through this. But as I was reading this, I thought, man, Jesus rolled the stone was rolled away from the tomb, right? And now what we've done sometimes, I think 2,000 years later, is we want to entomb Jesus right here in our four walls where we show up on Sunday. You know what I mean? It's like, Jesus, we want to show up here. We're going to roll the stone away. We're going to lock the doors. And when we come back next week, we want you to be here with us. But we're not going to really look for you when we go somewhere on Monday. I'm not looking for you to show up at the grocery store. No, Jesus did not leave one tomb only to be enshrined in another one. He wants to show up everywhere we are. Amen? He showed up at work. He showed up in normal, everyday places. He showed up in the places that the disciples visit, and that lets me know that everywhere I go is a potential place for the living Son of God to show up in my life. Amen? Now, I want you to see also, not only notice where does Jesus show up, but you need to pay attention to how Jesus shows up. How does the resurrected Savior show up? He shows up with a word just beyond what the disciples could see. The Bible says that they hear a voice calling out from the beach, but they can't see who it is. That's what it says. It was foggy or whatever. It was in that twilight time. They're far enough away from the shore that they couldn't see who it was, but they could still hear a voice. And not only does he call out and ask them how they're doing, if they call anything, but he then shows up. He then speaks a word to them and gives them a command, okay? Now, I hope above all things, if you only take one thing out of this teaching series that we've been in for the last 4 or 5 weeks, looking at these appearances of Jesus, my main desire, there's lots of things we can learn from this. My main desire in preaching this, and what I feel like the Lord led this to be the topic for these few weeks, is to do nothing more than create a hunger inside of us to see Jesus show up in a real way in our everyday lives. Amen? And I hope, if nothing else, that you are taking that away from this and saying, Jesus, if you showed up at their job, I want you to show up on my job. Jesus, you showed up on the Emmaus Road, whether who decided, I want you to show up on my Emmaus Road. I want you to show up wherever I'm at. Man, I hope that there is a holy desire being stirred up inside of you to say, I want to see Jesus show up in my life. Amen? Well, if that's the case, and I hope that it is, and I'm praying it is, and I'm believing God that it is, then you need to understand that Jesus is probably going to first show up with a word when he does. Amen? And it's often going to be a word that might cause us to stretch beyond what we can see, and we'll have to receive it with only what we can hear at first. Amen, somebody? Okay? In fact, let me say this. The first place to see a living Jesus is in his living word. If I'm looking for an encounter with Jesus, if I'm looking for a glimpse of Jesus alive today in my life, if I'm looking for Jesus to show up on my job or in my workplace, the first place to look is going to be right here in his word, because that's where Jesus often begins to, that's where he shows himself first, is with a word. And when he shows up with a word, it's almost always going to require my faith to stretch beyond what I can see. I'm going to need to hear it and receive it and believe that first, often before I see anything at all. Amen, somebody? And so, and this is also, wow, he shows up, right? He shows up and he says, hey, did you catch anything? And they're like, no, we haven't caught anything all night. And he's like, why don't you put your nets on the right side of the boat? Now listen, these are professional fishermen. They do this for a living. Are we honestly to believe that all night long they caught nothing and never thought to try the other side of the boat? If so, and this was their career, they were also hungry fishermen for a long time, okay? Of course, over the course of that, however long they were out, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, of course they had tried the opposite side of the boat. And in fact, it would have been real easy for them to go, like if it was me, I would have been like, duh, buddy, we've already tried that. We're tired now, we're coming home. But something about that voice did something inside of them. And they said, okay. And I'm going to dig into that a little bit, but we see in the story that it was John. At least we think it was John. John said it was John. But he wrote the book, so he had the freedom to say. But John, it was John that said, I think that's the Lord. Okay? I think that's the Lord. I'm going to get into that in just a second. Just put a pin in that. But this is what I want you to see. When Jesus shows up with a word, it may often be Jesus showing with a word saying, hey, do something, change something, shift something, think differently about something, invite that person, speak to that person, start that thing, quit doing that, start doing this, or what. It may be all kind of manner of things Jesus might show up and speak to you. But here's what I want you to understand. I don't know about you, but I grow up a lot of times, and I still get into this thinking a lot of times where I think, well, Well, when Jesus, like when God gives me a command, whether it's through his word or whether Jesus speaks something to my spirit, you know, that is God in heaven. That is our Father. He is testing me, and he is seeing if I will be obedient and if I will be a good little boy and follow the rules and do things Jesus says, then God will bless my life. But I think this shows me something a little differently about that. And I want you to understand this. When God speaks something to me, it is probably not a test. It is not God going, hey, if you jump through these hoops and if you do all these things, then I will pour out my blessing upon you. I don't think that at all. I think the reason that Jesus said, put your net on the right side of the boat, is because Jesus, the creator of the universe, the master of the sea, the one who put the fish in the sea to begin with, way back in Genesis, the reason he said, put your net on the right side, is because Jesus knew what they didn't know, and what Jesus knew that they didn't know is that he was about to cause a whole mess of fish to be on the right side of the boat. Amen. See, Jesus was already doing the miracle. Oh, God, don't miss this. Jesus was already performing the blessing. Jesus was already doing the miracle. And the command that he spoke to them was to position their net, to position their life in a place where their obedience would line up and intersect with what he was already doing. This was not a test for them to see, well, if you trust me and obey, then I'll do it. No, Jesus was already doing it, and he said, hey, you need to get in position with what I'm already doing, and I'm sending the fish to the right side of your boat, so just drop your net in the right side of the boat. I want you to know something. When God speaks a word to you, he is aligning your life. He is trying to align my life and position my life with the place where he is commanding his blessing. He is not being mean to you. He is not being angry with you. And he is not seeing if you will be a good enough obedient person or not. He's trying to say, I've got a blessing here and I want you to be a part of it. So get yourself on the right side of the boat. And I believe there might be some folks right now that God has been speaking to you, and you may have been resisting, and maybe there's been some stiffness and hardness of your heart, and you're saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to change that. I don't want to make that move. I don't want to put my net on the right side of the boat. I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to give up. But you hear Jesus say, no, don't quit yet. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Do this thing. Get here. Make this thing right. Listen, I want you to know something. He's trying to align you for a place of harvest. He's trying to align you and position you into a place of blessing if you'll just put your net on the right side of the boat. That's where the fish are. That's where the healing is. That's where the restoration is. When I see this word, and I'm going, okay, Jesus, I want to see you. I want an encounter with you. And I begin to look in the living word for the living God. And the word convicts me. And the word speaks something to me that says, shift this way, turn this way, put your net right here, do this. Listen, it's because God has a blessing there. God has a harvest there that he wants to align my life with. He's sending the fish to that side of the boat. Amen, somebody. Be ashamed to miss the harvest. Because I didn't let myself get lined up. Amen? This, not in such a dramatic fashion, but this was a funny thing that happened to me just a few weeks ago. Some of you maybe saw this, some of you will know, but there are some friends of ours that I noticed have been posting a lot of crazy stuff on social media over the last year, and I usually ignore it, but just for whatever reason, the mood struck me right, and I thought, I got a light day today. Let's argue on Facebook for a while. So I dropped some, you know, mildly snarky comments. Not really snarky, but, you know, I'll try to do things with humor and be a smartaleck at the same time. And all of a sudden, I was just getting obliterated. I mean, they were stupid, but it was just, everybody that agreed with him was just all attacking in this comment thing. And I answered back a couple times, and I was like, okay, I'm done with this. And then literally the next day in my just normal Bible reading, like what was assigned from the reading plan, was a text in either Hebrews or Titus, maybe it was Titus. And Paul told Titus, he said, don't allow yourself to get involved in stupid arguments over. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I messed that up yesterday, right? Why? Because God has a blessing for me if I can keep my mouth shut and not get involved in arguing. You understand what I'm saying? Amen, somebody? I said that was a real stupid, silly example. Nothing as dramatic as this. But what I'm saying is, man, I want to be in position. I want my life to be in position. If Jesus, if you're sending the fish, if you're sending the blessing to the right side, I better be on the right side. Now, when you get a word, when you sense a word from God, when you sense, hey, maybe something is going beyond here, this is something beyond what I can see, but I sense God's doing something deep here, there's three things that we've got to do when you hear him calling, when you hear his voice. And the three things are simply, I need to recognize him, I need to get to him, and I need to receive from him. Okay? When Jesus shows up and calls to me from the beach, I need to recognize that it's him, I need to get to him, and I need to be ready to receive from him. Okay? The step one, recognize him. It was John that first recognized him. It was John that said to Peter, I think that's the Lord. I think it's Jesus. And here's what I think probably made this click in John before, for whatever reason, it was maybe him. Maybe they all clicked at the same time. It was John that spoke up. And some of you will notice this. Some of you know this already. In Luke chapter 5, at the very beginning of Jesus' relationship with the disciples, this was one of the very first kind of miracles that happened. In Luke chapter 5, in one of the first encounters that Peter and James and John have with Jesus, is a very similar thing. The Bible says they were fishing all night long, didn't catch anything, took Jesus out on the boat with them. Jesus preached for a while, and Jesus again said, why don't you put your net on the right side of the boat? And again, duh, we've done that all night, Jesus. But in fact, in that story in Luke 5, Peter says, come on, Lord. He kind of is like, Lord, we've already done, like, hey, listen, you're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. You build the houses, I'll catch the fish. You know, he's like, we've done that. We've already done that, Lord, come on. But then Peter says this, but because now you say so, we'll do it. And again, they pulled in a huge catch of fish, the same thing. It took two boats of fishermen to pull it in. And I think that previous encounter triggered something inside of John so that he was able to recognize a little easier, okay? And this is another thing. That first time that Jesus does this, Jesus is in the boat with them. They can see him talking as he there's no doubt it's Jesus. The next time it happens, Jesus is on the beach and they can't see him, yet he still gives them a word. Amen? What I'm trying to say is that when God moves, the way God often moves, it's a progressive thing. And listen, every encounter, every word that God speaks to my life, every time I've heard his voice and recognized it and watched him move, that is just another brick. That is just another level. That is just another step along this road. And every step that I take towards Jesus, the easier it gets to recognize him when he calls me from further away. Amen? See, because they obeyed Jesus when he was right there in the boat with them, they were now able to obey Jesus when he was still 100 yards offshore from the beach, yet they heard his voice and they recognized it. Amen? Okay? And so what you and I need to do is we need to take inventory. Man, I keep a prayer journal, and I mark things down that I'm believing God for. And when God moves in a way, I write it down. And there's sometimes, I've done this for years and years of my life now, and I usually go back, now that we have, I used to do this all by hand, now we got emails and all kinds of electronic things, and almost every year, I save that year's document of prayer stuff. I look it over and have a moment rejoicing. Sometimes I'll look back, and I haven't thought about it in a few months, and I go, man, hey, I prayed for that, and God did that. I prayed for that, and God did that. I prayed for that, and God, and man, I need to keep, you need to have that record, have that journal, so that you can look back, and that will help you recognize. You'll be able to remember, oh, you know what? When I was believing God for this, I didn't realize it was working out, but now all of a sudden that I'm 5 months down the road, I see how God worked that thing out, and now the thing that I'm hearing God say do now, I can believe for that even more. I can recognize that sooner. I can, come on somebody, I can sense God's voice sooner so that I can get there fast. Amen? I got to recognize it, okay? And then once I recognize it, I've got to get to Jesus, okay? Now, this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. I've probably preached this a few times. Some of you have been around a while, you probably heard me share this in one form or another. I'm not going to get all into it. But there's a couple interesting things here about Peter. When John says, hey, it's the Lord, funny thing, one, that happened. The Bible says Peter, think about this. The Bible says Peter gets dressed to jump into the water. He was already undressed. I don't know how undressed. You think it was like uncomfortable? Like they're like, Peter, we're all fishing. Why are you naked, dude? Come on. Peter's just like. Peter gets dressed to go into the water. I wonder why he did that. I wonder why he got dressed to go in the water. You know what I think? This is just my own. I can't. A lot of like theologians believe this. But I thought of it first. No, I didn't think of it first. You remember the story when they were in the middle of the storm and they saw Jesus walking out on the water and Peter said, hey, Lord, if it's you, call me to come out to you on the water. And you all know the story. Peter jumps out of the boat, walks on water, gets afraid, begins to sink. You know what I believe? I believe that Peter got dressed because he thought, man, if that's the Lord, I've just been waiting for the chance to redeem myself. I've been waiting for this moment to walk on water again. And this time, I'm going to get it right. In fact, it's a nice sunny day. I think I can do it this time. I believe Peter jumped out of that boat and he got dressed because he thought he was going to walk on water to Jesus again. I can only imagine the shock that happens when he jumped out of the boat and just sank into the water. And what I love about that is that it shows me that, you know what, man, whether I walk on water or whether I swim. See, sometimes you might jump out of the boat and you might walk on water and God will help you do that. Sometimes you jump out of the boat and you sink and you have to swim. But whether you walk on water or whether you get wet, just get to Jesus. Whether you walk on water or whether you get wet, the important thing is not how you got there. The important thing is that you got there. The important thing is not whether or not a miracle happened and you walked across the water and you were like, hey, everybody, look at me. Doop, 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 doop. No, the important thing is that you got to Jesus. And I love the fact because, man, Peter, if he was expecting to walk on water, I can just imagine the shock that he went through when he just sank to the water. He was like, oh, man, like if it was me and I was expecting to walk on water and I sank instead, I might have like swam back to the boat and got in the boat and said, man, forget this. No, but Peter said, all right, fine. Hey, I was hoping to walk, but if I got to swim, I'm going to swim. Either way, I'm getting to Jesus. And when I recognize that the Lord is calling me to go somewhere, when I recognize the Lord is calling me to do something, when I recognize the Lord is calling me out from beyond what I can see, I just need to get to Jesus. Walk, swim, take a helicopter, take an Uber, crawl, I don't care. Just get to Jesus. Amen? Recognize him, get to him, and then be ready to receive from him. They get on the beach. Peter gets there first. I also love that Peter's like, have fun with all those fish, guys. I'm going to Jesus. If you read the story on, though, the Bible says that when the disciples show up and they're struggling with the net, this is how much of a beast Peter was. The Bible says that Peter goes and grabs the net and carries it up onto the beach all by himself. savage. Peter gets to the beach, and Jesus already has breakfast ready. Not a breakfast I want to eat. Fish and bread. Ugh. But, okay. I'm sure if I was in that time, that would have been normal. Like, you know, it's bacon and eggs, it's oatmeal, it's whatever you want to eat. It's a kale smoothie with, I don't know, whatever you're into in the morning. The fact is, whatever you needed for nourishment, whatever you need to get, Jesus has it ready there. Amen. And when I hear Jesus say, hey, come here, when Jesus moves us somewhere, know that it's not just for you to recognize him, and it's not just for you to get to him. It's because he has something there ready for you to receive that's going to nourish your soul, that's going to bless you, that's going to replenish you, restore you, refresh you, and revive you. Amen? And man, not only was there breakfast on the beach, but there was so much more than just breakfast. Because then there's this amazing exchange. There's this amazing exchange between Jesus and Peter that takes place in front of the rest of the group. See, I told you about this a couple weeks ago. We know from Scripture that Jesus has, this is the second like kind of moment that Jesus and Peter have together. The Bible says that Peter saw Jesus all by himself. The Lord appeared to Peter. We have no details of the moment. It was just Jesus showing up to Peter. But this is in front of everyone. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. A second time, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus says, tend my sheep. The third time, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He says, a third time, feed my sheep. Oh, there's so much going on here. Some people believe that Jesus was reminding Peter of the three denials. But you know what? That goes against every character trait that we've ever seen in Jesus. It is not like Jesus to throw your mistakes in your face in a way to teach you a lesson. That's not how Jesus operates. Now, no doubt, Peter is reminded. But you know what? Peter probably didn't need any help remembering what he had done just a few days earlier, denying that he knew Jesus three times. I don't think for a second the master is somehow trying to make Peter feel bad and remind him of his three failures. Here's what I think Jesus is doing. Because this is not just a private meeting, this is in the front of the whole group. Peter failed publicly. And I believe Jesus said, you know what? You failed publicly, I'm going to restore you publicly. I don't think this has anything to do with Jesus trying to condemn Peter and bring his mistakes back up in his past. What I believe he's trying to do here, and what I believe he's really saying here is this: hey, you screwed up royally, absolutely, yes you did, but that's washed and under the blood, and I'm going to tell you in front of everyone, just like you denied me publicly, just like you failed publicly, just like you fell and flopped on your face publicly in front of everyone, I'm going to restore you and restore the calling and the purpose and the ministry that I have for you. I'm going to do that publicly as well. Amen, somebody? That is a lot more like the character of the Jesus that we've seen all throughout Scripture. That, I believe, is what the heart of Jesus is here in this. Listen, he says, listen, you can fail publicly, but Jesus can restore publicly. Peter suffered a public defeat that everybody knew about, but Jesus said, you know what? As publicly as you were defeated, I'm going to bring victory just as publicly in front of everybody so that they will know that I have conquered all of it. Amen, somebody? This is the other thing I think Jesus is doing. Three times, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. You know what I think Jesus is doing? I think Jesus is speaking life and speaking purpose and speaking redemption and speaking destiny over every single one of Peter's failures. Everywhere Peter failed, Jesus says, I have a call for it. Over every time Peter said, I don't know him, Jesus says, you know what? No, I'm going to cross that out and we're going to write, feed my sheep. You have an assignment. You have a job to do. There's something I'm calling you to do. Jesus takes every place that Peter failed and replaces it with a calling and a ministry and an anointing and an empowerment. And I've got good news for you and me today. That is still exactly what the living, saving Jesus is doing for you and me today. Over every single place that you have said, I don't know him. Over every single place where you have refused him. I believe if we will let him and have a conversation with Jesus, he will cross out. He will take all of those things out and instead replace it with an anointing, replace it with empowerment, replace it with a calling, replace it with a purpose, replace it with a destiny. I don't know who needs to hear that today. In fact, some of you right now, as soon as I said that, the devil is lying to you and telling you that's not for you. Listen to me real close. That is for you. That was not just something he did for Peter. He's doing that for you, and someone needs to hear this right now in Jesus' name. It might be someone right there at home right now. You need to hear this. Listen, as publicly as you failed in Jesus' name, God is about to restore publicly. As publicly as you were defeated, I believe Jesus is about to bring victory publicly in Jesus' name. Why? Because that's what a living Savior does. And then Peter, just like I know I have done many, many times, Peter just about messes the whole thing up. They just have this amazing restoration moment. And the Bible says that John walked by. And Peter says, hey, what about him? Isn't that just like what we do? Jesus says something to us, and we like, well, are you going to speak to him too? Are you going to talk about him? I was the only one that failed. I was the only one that was afraid. I was the only one hiding out. Why am I the only one getting publicly? You know what I mean? I had this conversation with my kids all the time. I'm like, hey, shut up. They're like, well, he was talking to you. I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. So Peter's like, hey, what about John? And Jesus says, oh, I love this. I've had Jesus speak this to me over and over again in my life so many times. For me, it's usually I'll see a friend, I'll see a colleague, I'll see a brother in Christ or in ministry, I'll see a brother in ministry, and they might, by our normal standards, have more success. Man, I've got guys I went to college with that pastor bigger churches than me. They're preaching to more people. They're God's opening doors for them. And I'd be lying if I thought I hadn't looked at that once in a while and thought, man, why isn't some of that happening for me? And over again, Jesus brings me back to this. And what Jesus says to Peter is the same thing we've got to have in our soul if we're going to receive that restoration, and if we're going to be able to continue to recognize and get to him and receive from him. Jesus says, if I want John to stay alive until the day I come back, he says, what is that to you? And he says, you follow me. You follow me. And if I lead you down a dirt road where it doesn't look like anything is living, doesn't look like anybody is, doesn't matter, you follow me there. Come on, somebody. If I lead you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray for 1 or 2 hours before you go to work every day, and you don't see anybody else putting that time and commitment in, what is that to you? You follow me. If I've called you to serve somewhere in the church and it looks like it's underappreciated, and no one else hears that call, and no one else is helping you out, and no one else is doing that, what is that to you? You follow me. If I lead you to give up alcohol, if I lead you to give up secular music, if I tell you to do this, and it looks like everybody else is able to enjoy that, everyone else is having a good time, and they still love Jesus, and you're still using them, well, and I can't get away with it, what is that to you? You follow me. If everyone else is having sex before they get married, having babies, living together, doing a bunch of stuff, I'm not here to condemn any of that or any of you, but listen to me. If you say, well, how come I'm convicted? How come I can't get away with it? How come I, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me. I'm just working so hard and I'm serving so hard and trying to do this missionary work and nobody's helping and nobody says thank you. You follow me. The words that Jesus said to Peter are the exact same words that he is saying to every single one of us. I'm not lying. I'm not exact. I bet if it's been one time, it's been 100 times I've had this same conversation with God. And it ends the same way. Justin, you follow me. You follow me. Will you stand me all over this room this morning? We're going to end our moment together in communion groups. We're going to circle up. We haven't done that in a while, and I'm going to invite everyone this morning. In just a few moments, don't do it yet. But in just a few moments, I'm just gearing you up for this because I know some of you this was maybe your worst nightmare, and I apologize. You're like, I go to church, but I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm sorry. This is that day. We don't do this every day. We don't do this every Sunday. But this is that Sunday. And here's why it's important. Because God never intended your walk with him to just be us looking this direction. Sometimes to get everything that God wants and to have the word of God hit home, sometimes we got to stop looking, just all of us looking at a stage, and we got to turn around and look at each other once in a while. Say, hey, we're on this journey together. Pray for one another. But before we do that, if you're in this place this morning, you don't know Jesus, you're in this place this morning, and man, you're not following him, maybe you're in this place this morning you've screwed up, you have failed, and you know it. Right now, whether it's for the first time or for the 100th time, I want to give you an opportunity to say, you know what, I'm coming back to Jesus this morning. I'm coming back to Jesus, or for the first time, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to explain it simply in the next 90 seconds. It doesn't mean it's easy, but you can probably get it. It's ABC. The first thing I've got to do is A, accept that I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. As one preacher said, we are not mistakers who need erasers. Listen, I don't make mistakes, and they don't need to be erased. I mess up because I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. And I have to accept that. That's the first step. After I accept that I'm a sinner who needs a Savior, B, I need to believe that Jesus is the Savior that I need. And the reason that I can believe that Jesus is the Savior that I need is because he's the only one who has an empty grave. There have been many people throughout history claiming, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, follow me. Only one of them has an empty grave, and that's Jesus, and that's why I listen to him. Amen? So I believe that he's that Savior, and then see, I confess what I believe in my heart with my mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul declared, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, so shall you be saved. And right now, you know what? I'm going to ask you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, because this is not a decision that you that anybody can make for you. This is something that has to be done personally between you and heaven alone. Right now, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, you're not serving Jesus, listen, as much as I would love you to join this church and be a part of the Red Life family and be a part of what we're called here to do, I'm not even asking you to join a church today. I'm not asking you to join a religious movement. I'm asking you and inviting you to come to Jesus and to know him. You say, well, I don't know if do I qualify? If you're breathing, you qualify. And let me just go one step further. Not only do you qualify, but he loves you so radically and he loves you so unbelievably. I don't care what you have ever heard or what lie you've ever been told or what you've ever just conjured up and thought on your own. God is not mad at you. God does not hate you. God is not your enemy. God is your friend. He loves you, and he loves you so much that 2,000 years ago, he sent Jesus to die in your place so that today, right now, 2,000 years later, you could accept it, believe it, and confess it, and come to know him. So right now, with every head bowed, if you're online and the Lord is speaking to you, you can drop a raised hand emoji. You can say, I'm praying that prayer in the comments, and we're going to pray that together. But right now, if you're in this room, I'm not going to count to 10, not going to count to 3. I'm just going to ask you right now to raise your hand. If you're in this place, say, man, I want to become a follower of Jesus today. I want to know Jesus today. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Amen. Let's pray. I want us to all pray out loud with your own so that you can hear it with your own ears. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned, but I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Thank you. Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me. Make me your son or your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, make that real. Make this moment more real than anything that we've ever experienced before. Let new life begin to bubble up. Let new life begin to take root and give and be birthed inside of spirits and souls right now that have returned to you or maybe for the first time. In Jesus' name.